If you count California as if it were a country, it is the sixth largest economy in the world, bigger than France, bigger than Russia. California is also obviously the most populous state in the country, with a lot of people, a lot of prestige, and a lot of power. And that makes some people wonder why California needs the United States. It's not the first time somebody thought of selling California or setting California off by itself as a separate country. But yes, California put a lot of work into convincing people to sign petitions to put a separation advisory vote on the ballot. Yes, California is co-founded and vice-presidented by Marcus Ruiz Evans, who joins us by phone. Hi, Marcus.
Actually, Jeffrey, Marcus just texted me to say that he has been disconnected. This is Claire here, the other person from Yes California.
Okay, we'll get him on the other line. Claire Hedin is the Bay Area representative for Yes California. Thank you for joining us today. Give us a hint of or some idea of how Yes California got underway, where this all came from originally.
Well, firstly, thank you very much for having us on the show this morning. We appreciate the time and the opportunity to share thoughts with you. So basically, the way it started was before my involvement, and Marcus had written a book about the new California, which I believe got published, and he'll be able to tell you about that himself, in 2012. And because he'd written that book, and he was trying to do this all on his own in terms of trying to get a movement going, and I think for about 4 years, he realized that it's just not something that works when you try and do it on your own. So Louis Marinelli then found him through the book, and the two of them formed their own sort of small coalition and started to put their heads together to figure out what is the best and most reasonable way and most likely way to get success to secede. And so they actually drafted the initiative, I think otherwise known as the plebiscite, that that we we're proposing to put on the ballot now.
All right. I understand we do have Marcus Ruiz Evans back on the line now, the co-founder and vice president of Yes California. Hi, Marcus.
Hi. Yeah, I heard some of what Claire said, and that's how it happened.
What's the original impetus here, though? I mean, what is it that made you decide that California might be better off by itself?
You know, it was other Californians. First, I want to say that Claire's an expert. If anybody's in the Bay Area, if you ever want to talk about CalExit, Claire is a leader in CalExit. She joined right after we were all shocked with the presidency popular election of Donald Trump, and she really has seen a lot of the movement grow. So the person to talk to. The reason that I came to that was I didn't originally. I saw the Iraq war happen. I was watching television, and I saw two polls on national American-wide TV, and one said, looks like we're going to Iraq, folks. 70% of America polled said they love the idea, we're going to Iraq. I'm sitting there kind of going stupefied. A few minutes pass, another poll comes on television. New poll. Everyone in California was surveyed. 70% of Californians are against going in. And I just sat there going, hold on now. 70% of Americans are for going into Iraq, and 70% of Californians are against. You could not be more opposite. That was over a decade ago. So I wanted to write a book just, and I had heard we're the land of fruits and nuts and crazies and everything, you know, growing up here. So I just thought I'd write a book showing how the culture is different. I just started off scientific, you know, going, why would a people have such an opposite opinion about one of the biggest decisions that anyone can make? You know, societies are defined by the big decisions. War is one of them. California could not be more different than America on that. So I thought I'd just document that. In the course of trying to prove why the cultures were so different, I kept finding other people who said, yeah, we should just be our own nation. We should just break off. And so my book was not about that. Appendix 1 is what the book was going to be, just a documentation of how the cultures are different. The entire rest of California's Next Century, other than Appendix 1, is everything I found in that exploration. And it was other people constantly saying, we could do this. We could do this. We should just break off. We should be an independent nation. We're totally different. And so through the course of my research, I gradually came to the conclusion through facts that, you know, maybe people don't want to do it. Okay. But we can. There's no debate. California is already acting like a nation. It can be a nation. It loses being part of America. Now, if you still want to be part of America, okay. But let's get the facts straight. We can be a nation. We already act like one. We're seen as one by the planet, and we're losing financially, culturally, politically, pretty much every way being part of America. Now, knowing all that, you still want to be part? Okay. But I was just blown away by the overwhelming amount of facts that this isn't working for us. We're held back, and we're already doing this. That's how that came.
We're talking to a couple of leaders of Yes California, which wants to put a measure on the ballot to get Californians to express their desire to leave California or not, if that is the case. Marcus Ruiz Evans, you just heard, is the co-founder and vice president of Yes California. Claire Hedin is the Bay Area representative. We want to get your thoughts on this as well. If you're living in California, what do you think about it being in your own country rather than the United States? If you're in another state, perhaps Oregon, what do you think about losing California as another state like your own? Join us on the exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Marcus, you laid out your thoughts about the Iraq War and the fact that the feelings in California were very different. Claire, Marcus gave us a little hint of what the feelings have been in California about the fact that California voted very strongly for Hillary Clinton and yet got Donald Trump as president. I imagine that's fueled a few more people, particularly in the Bay Area where you work.
Well, it has. You know, whenever we go to events, Jeffrey, it's just incredible to me because the Bay Area, as you know, is very politically vocal. And people are scared. People are genuinely scared. They're scared and they're angry. And I think it's a combination of factors. So I think the slow-burning anger is something that's been developing over a number of years because we've watched the political system, known as the federal government, kind of doing its own thing and not really taking care of the people. And it was funny because I was interviewed by a French TV company about a month ago, and they had been doing their own research. They'd been talking to people in different parts of the country and asking them, you know, how do you feel about the government? And they each had their own reasons they felt let down, whether it was due to diversity or racism or poverty issues or homelessness or whatever it might be, jobs. And the interviewer actually asked me, well, who does the government serve? If they're not serving, if there are so many people that feel disenfranchised, who are the government actually serving? And I had to just burst out laughing because I said, well, themselves and big business. And that seems to be a very prevalent thought for most people, regardless of their demographic or their background, is that they feel like things are falling away from them and that there's less and less of a voice here in California and that our principles aren't aligned, which makes it really, really hard to plan a future when you know that there's a governing body sort of hovering over the top of all your decisions and your financial freedom that restricts your ability to move forward in a way that suits your own personality. You know, and Californians definitely have a unique personality. And then, of course, the fear factor has a lot to do with immigration, which is such an immediate concern because, as we already know, there are people whose families are being torn apart, you know, and it's so unpredictable, which from a psychology perspective is very, very unnerving for people. And I would know a little bit about that as an immigrant myself, because I had to go through this very slow process and it costs money, you know, and if you can't afford a lawyer, it makes it even more intimidating. So there's just a lot there to unnerve people. And now that the Trump administration is rolling back these various very, very important essential protections for the environment, the people who have that kind of awareness are even more concerned. And that's why you've got this sort of mixture of anger and fear.
All right. You both mentioned financial freedom. I want to come back to Marcus Ruiz Evans because you said that California is losing financially by being part of the United States. How do you mean that?
Well, you know, I'm very proud of this because you go back a couple of years ago and the news would say, well, yes, California says that California puts more into the federal system than they get out. And now the media admits we lose financially. So California is wealthy. Say whatever you want about the business climate and regulations, whatever you want. We've been a top 10 economy for half a century, since the late 70s. Never been dropped out. Got hit by the worst recession ever, and it didn't even knock us out of the top 10 economy. So we have more money than superpowers. So we put more money into America than we get out. Now, I hear all these articles about how, oh, they're going to cut federal funds. Yeah, but where did the money come from? We put way more in. We lose about $16 to $32 billion a year. You go back before the recession, it was up to $60 to $80 billion. That's billion that you put in. We pay taxes. You should, you know, pay for the military, Social Security, everything you need to do. Great. And then there's money that gets directed to 35 other states and doesn't come back to California. So we don't get our fair amount of what we pay for. Now, there was these crazy people in 1776 who said, hey, if I pay taxes, I want to make sure I get a fair amount of services for them. That's what we're saying in California. We have, since the 80s, put more into the federal system than we got back in equivalent revenue. IRS records show that. The chart is on, yes, California. Now the media is finally admitting that. We lose financially. We're a donor place. We put more in than we get out. It's $16 to $32 billion, sometimes $60 to $80 billion. This has gone on for decades. It's not a coincidence that we have a lack of money and we have the worst schools and roads and dams and seaports and airports and levees. And yet, according to the federal government, 35 other states do better than us on that because that's our money. They're able to have better schools and roads because that's our cash. You know, I'm from Fresno, right? It's conservative. And the CalExit movement is very socially liberal, but it's very fiscally traditional. There's some traditional conservative economics things there, like don't take my money. That's my money. It should go to help my family and my neighborhood and my people. That's our cash. I grew up and went to some of the worst schools in Fresno, Bay Area, South Central Los Angeles, West Sacramento, downtown Oakland, West Side. I've seen it. We have ghettos. We have schools. And then to hear, oh, it doesn't have to be that way. You have more money than you could possibly use. You just don't get to spend it because the federal government says it gets to go to other people who are already doing better than you. By the way, you've done this for a couple decades. That's ridiculous and insane.
We're talking to the folks at Yes California about the concept of CalExit, about the idea of California leaving the union. They're trying to get a vote on the ballot in 2019. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange as we talk to Marcus Ruiz Evans, co-founder and vice president, and Claire Hedin, the Bay Area representative for Yes California. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Here's a call from Matt in Medford. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Yourself?
Good. Well, I just had a comment. I've heard this a lot. I was born and raised in California, in Northern California. I've heard a lot of people wanting to leave the United States, but I'm a soldier. I'm a veteran. I served my country, and I just wanted to know why you guys think that if we separated from the United States, that we'd be anything, that we'd be so vulnerable that I think that even Northern California people would come down and take San Francisco apart militarily, just the people that own guns. I mean, so you got to be thinking about that, too. That's my comment.
Defense. Thank you for that, Matt. Appreciate it. So what do you say, Marcus?
I mean, Claire, do you want to weigh in on this?
I'll let you go, Marcus. You go on that one.
Okay. Okay, well, a couple things is that, so California has its own army. A lot of people don't know that. It's been around for a century. It's called the California State Military Reserve. 2013, the legislature, which is why we think the California government likes this idea, very quietly created a California Navy, the California Naval Militia. These are not the reserves. These are separate, independent military bodies under the exclusive control of the California government. So we already have a military.
But they have their own bases and guns and boats and things like that?
Uh-huh. Yep. Been there for years. Still exists. Talked about. I don't know why it's not routinely talked about, but it's been there, and we have it. Secondly, there's still going to be police, and there's still going to be the police force is very strong. Nobody's going to come down from the north with guns and take over any urban city. That hasn't happened in a modern Western country in about 70 years. We have police. They have SWAT teams. We have a separate military. So law and order will still be here. We're also talking about an orderly transition, so it's not going to be chaos. But let's get to the real issue. When people talk about military, secondly, this is not any disrespect to the troops. The troops are sworn to uphold the Constitution and democracy. They don't pledge faith to a president. That was the American system of government. All U.S. military troops pledge faith to the concepts of democracy, and that's what we're doing. We're saying, hey, free, legal, peaceful. So we're doing and operating in the system that all of the American troops fought to uphold. This is very American.
Claire
participating
Hedin,
in the system.
Claire, can you give us a sense of the nuts and bolts? I mean, because there's a long process here of gaining petition signatures, getting this on the ballot. It is an advisory ballot, correct?
Actually, that sounds like a technical term, so I'm not sure how to comment on the advisory ballot.
Well, in other words, non-binding. It's not. It wouldn't be like Brexit in the sense that it would say, yes, California has to go now, boom.
Well, eventually it would, but it's the stages. It's in stages, and this is partly what Marcus is referring to. It's a very methodical process. Unlike Brexit, it has stages to it that allow for self-education, community education, town halling, and really just getting a better understanding of the pros and cons of staying and leaving. So as it stands right now, we're in a signature gathering period, and that ends on July 25th of this year. So we had 180 days, once that's complete, to gather 585,407 signatures, valid signatures. So obviously we need to get more than that to cover for error, human error. Once those signatures go through, then it does go on the ballot. So November 2018 is when the first actual vote happens. And on that vote, people are saying yes or no to removing a single sentence from the Californian Constitution that does, in fact, bind us to the U.S. Once that happens, if people vote yes on that, and 50% of registered voters have to come out to vote, and 55% have to say yes to that particular vote, let's call that vote A. Mm-hmm. So on that vote, then if that goes through, That sentence comes out, and that renders this a completely legal thing to vote on, secession. So then the following March, which is 2019, that is the ultimate vote, vote B. And in that vote, that's when people simply say yes or no to seceding.
Well,
that's the process.
All right, so a two-step process, and then 585,407 signatures valid. How many do you have so far?
That's the magic question. We're not actually sure. Marcus, do you have any more idea than I do?
We're still doing a count. The issue is that we keep growing.
Uh-huh.
So we keep adding more chapters, and basically we've given everybody the information. You can download the petition at yescalifornia.org. So if you go to yescalifornia.org, you can download the petition. Some people are coordinating with us. Some people are just doing it. I mean, we heard about reporters complaining about how they were accosted at an airport collecting signatures, and people were calling us going, what are you doing? And they go, I don't know these people. People are just doing it. So some people turned it into us. Some people turned it into one of our three mailboxes. Some people turned it into the county board of supervisors. Some people just store it. Some people respond quickly to us. It's very grassroots. So
that's,
I'm still
exactly.
collecting
and,
the number.
We've got all, sorry, Marcus. We've got, I think, if I'm right, I think we have 66 chapters who identify with us as either independent or part of Yes California. So, I mean, everyone knows what to do with the signatures. And so this is one of the hardest parts in terms of wanting to know the numbers and not really being that sure of them. So it's a little bit of a hold your breath kind of moment with regards to that.
Right.
Because it's so important to get the signatures. And with the resources we have, even though there are thousands of people who have volunteered to participate, it's really hard, as Marcus is saying, to keep up with it, you know, especially because it is so grassroots.
All right. Yes, California is on a campaign to get Californians to consider seceding from the United States. Marcus Ruiz Evans is co-founder and vice president. Claire Hedin, Bay Area representative. You addressed this yourself on your website, I noticed, but there is this question about Louis Marinelli, your co-founder of Yes California, living in Russia.
Sure.
What is that about, Marcus?
So, I mean, this is the thing that we've, you know, okay, so basically it goes like this. You go back to last year or half a year ago, we were growing, but we wanted to get international attention. We were all over California news couldn't get anybody in America outside of California to cover us at all. So we had worked with the Texas Nationalist Group saying, hey, we don't share your ideas on what's a good society. You don't like immigrants. We do. But you also want a peaceful secession movement. So we need to get that out there that you can do this. And they said, hey, we went to an international conference, and we got in the international news, and that got us a lot of press attention. Oh, great. Where was that? Oh, it was in Russia. Ooh. Okay. Well, Lewis had been an English teacher for the last decade, and he had already been to Russia 10 years ago, met his wife, learned the language, speaking with her. So we said, go to this conference. It's just a conference. It's 2 days. You'll get in the European news. And I got to tell you, it worked. You know, we got in French, German, English, Spanish, and Scottish, Chinese and Russian news from that one conference. And then guess who covered us for the first time ever? New York Times and ABC television. They never talked to us before. We emailed them, called them, nothing. We get Europeans talking about it. Suddenly the American news has to respond about something covered in their own backyard. So we said, let's keep getting into the European news market. Well, as you know, there was this thing called the 2008 global economic collapse. And Europe was not interested in non-Europeans coming and taking their jobs. But at the same time, there was a country called Russia that was under embargo. You go back about a year, they were scared. I mean, I understand Russia's the bad guy now. You go back a year ago, Americans thought they were impotent and weak. So we thought, hey, get a job there, teaching English, stay in the European continent, keep getting into the European media. And it's been working. I mean, we've been in the top four: German, French, Spanish, English, Scottish, Russian, Chinese, Japanese, Hong Kong, Filipino news since he's been there. Because once you get outside of the American media market, the world responds very differently.
Right, so
talk to any of our members. World news does not act like American news. So he's there to get us in the news.
Okay, Lewis Marinelli in Russia. Marcus Ruiz Evans is in California. He is the co-founder with Lewis Marinelli and the vice president of Yes California. Claire Hedin, the Bay Area representative. We'll be seeing what the petition signature gathering does through the rest of the year. Thanks to you both for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you very much, Jeffrey.